This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. In West Texas, it's not just the landscape that's long and lonely. It's the days and nights, too. The late Roy Orbison once described his youth in Wink, Texas as football, oil fields, grease, and sand. At night, when the sky would open up lit like Christmas, Roy would grab his guitar, sit in the family car, and sing. It was a way to fill all that empty space, he once said. But the car wasn't big enough to contain the voice of a man who would one day become known the world over as the Caruso of rock.
Golden days before they end, whisper secrets to the wind. Your baby won't be near you anymore.
The early rock impresario Sam Phillips of Sun Records once told Orbison he'd never make it. Kids don't want to hear those slow songs, boy. Perkins was wrong, twice over. Not only was Orbison's range much greater than Phillips imagined, Orbison would be inspired to write a song so remarkable it would knock the Beatles from the number one spot. According to Roy's son, Alex, it was a song he wrote for his young wife. It was summer, 1964.
She said that she was going to go into town, and my dad asked, "Do you need any money?" And my dad's co-writer, Bill Dee, said, "A pretty woman like that doesn't need any money."
Pretty woman.
With hits came the good life. Orbison once said Elvis introduced him to motorcycles, and Roy and his wife Claudette would often go riding in the hills not far from Nashville. On June 6, 1966, while riding home from Bristol, a truck pulled out in front of Claudette's bike. She died instantly. It would be the start of a long period of tragedy. He threw himself into new projects, films, and music, but he couldn't shake the darkness.
He met my mom in summer of 1968, and things, just when they start looking good in the Orbison story, then the next tragedy hits. September of 1968, the family home burned down, killing my two oldest brothers, and everything went on halt.
The death of his sons shook Orbison to his core. He disappeared from the spotlight, from public life, just as popular music was changing, transforming. Orbison had left the stage, but what many don't realize is that the music never left Orbison. In January 1969, he went into the studio again to record an album of songs that spoke directly to what he was going through, an album never before heard by the public until now, an album which fills a missing chapter of the Orbison story. As his son Alex explains, these sessions were a kind of catharsis for Orbison, and the studio was a kind of refuge.
It just created even structure and a place to go during the day, just to have an excuse to brush your teeth and shower to get out of the house. You know, my dad started performing at the age of 7 or something. He had his own radio show by the time he was 8. And so,
yeah.
It was one of the things that was in his toolkit. It was his answer for many problems.
My world is like a river, as dark as it is deep. Night after night, the past slips in and gathers all my sleep. My day.
When you hear these songs, I mean, some of these songs are now classics. Something like You Never Walk Alone. There's obviously special symbolism there, but you also think about the time in his life when he's recording this and what that, how difficult it must have been.
Yes, and You'll Never Walk Alone, he had recorded as a little nod of the hat to his buddies in Jerry and the Pacemakers. I think he recorded this a little earlier. It seemed like he was through the storm at that point, and unfortunately wasn't.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high.
He took a piece of the Running Scared guitar riff, just the ching, 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 and he applies that and then threw a huge crescendo on the end. And so it sounds like a classic Roy Orbison song.
Walk on, walk on. With hope.
the time he started writing in 69, One of the Lonely Ones, you know, one of the lines is, I'm sick, I'm tired, and I'm uninspired. And I'd rather be dead and done than to be what I become, one of the lonely ones. You know, it is very, very, very sad.
I run with the lonely ones.
You know, my dad said too, in interviews, is the only way to get to the next song. You know, he felt like that they were each individual gifts. And so when they come, then you won't be granted the next gift if you don't honor the one that's on the table. And so the One of the Lonely Ones definitely was indicative of very, very hard times.
I'm sick and tired, uninspired. I'd rather be dead and done.
Alex, maybe it's because of the tenor of some of his greatest and most beautiful songs, but a lot of people have this idea that Roy Orbison was sad, a melancholy person. Was he?
Well, when you show up and you've got jet black hair and dark sunglasses that you wear 24 hours a day and you're dressed in all black, and I think it was my dad's had a meek quality to him. When he wasn't on stage, he was very quiet and unassuming and soft-spoken. And so people have filled in the blanks that he was morose and somber. Just like a ray of light and so funny. You know, if you talk to any of the guys in the Traveling Wilburys, they would just mention how when they did the Handle With Care video, they were all in a 16-passenger van for 45 minutes in L.A. traffic, not knowing where they were going. But my dad was reciting Monty Python skits to these guys, and, you know, they said that the whole van was in stitches, just laughing the whole way.
I'm so tired of being lonely. I still
know, anyone who can make LA traffic fun is definitely not a somber person.
Final question, Alex. How do you think he would feel about this album, which had, you know, been in a drawer for so long, finally seeing the light of day and people hearing it? What do you think his reaction would be?
The main thing is that my brothers and I have been on the phone every day for the last couple of years working on this stuff together is the thing that far and away that he would be most proud about. But the fact that we've restored these records to sound like they would naturally on vinyl, you know, he would be really, really tickled, I think is the word that he used. So
don't tell me you've been sad. Don't tell me you've been mad.
One of the Lonely Ones, a long-lost album by Roy Orbison recorded in 1969, a remarkable recording, to say the least. We've been speaking with his son, Alex Orbison, who worked awfully hard to bring these out into the light, as it were. Alex, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm just so happy that we have another new Roy Orbison thing that you can hear the thunder of his voice come back. You know, it's just amazing. So thank you.
Laurie.